May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1062. King of kings and Lord of lords, these are great and awful words. 'Tis to Jesus they belong. Let his people raise their song. Hymn 1062.
Oh. May God be pleased to bless the reading of his words to the profit of our souls this morning. We'll read two chapters, and the first is in the book of Psalms, and Psalm 42. Psalm 42. This is headed to the chief musician, Maskil, for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, My rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. We now turn to the prophecy of Habakkuk and read chapter 3. Habakkuk comes between Nahum and Zephaniah. The prophecy of Habakkuk and reading chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble, when he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. May God instruct us from his holy word and help us now to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Ever blessed and eternal Lord God, do grant that we may be blessed with that access at the throne of grace as we come in prayer at this time. And Lord, grant us a riot and a truly thankful heart for every blessing and mercy which every one of us continues to receive day by day. Lord, we are surrounded with mercies, and they are new every morning. And Lord, we acknowledge great is thy faithfulness. Lord, we confess so often our unfaithfulness. But Lord, we're thankful to know we have an almighty God who is so faithful, so kind, so gracious, one who does not deal with us as our sins deserve, but one who is full of compassion. And so, Lord, we're thankful to know that we have a God who remembers that we are dust. And Lord, we come here this morning, and Lord, we pray that every one of us may have come here this morning with a desire to hear what God the Lord will speak to our souls. Oh Lord, let us not have come just by a mere tradition. But Lord, may we have come indeed like those opening verses we read together this morning. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. We pray, Lord, we each may have that real desire after our God. Lord, that we've come here this morning to worship. We may bow down before Almighty God as that one who we've sung is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, may we recognize and realize the great truth of these statements. And so, Lord, may they influence our hearts as we're found here now in the attitude of worship. Lord, may we not be found trifling with our God. May we not be found, Lord, with a wrong motive, with wrong desires, with a wrong attitude. And Lord, if they are so, if they are found in our hearts, we pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit may come and bring to us and grant to us that true and right spirit of worship, so that we may each be numbered amongst those who are the true worshippers, who worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Come, gracious God, then, and possess our hearts and minds today. We're thankful, Lord, for the Lord's Day. Thankful it is a day set apart, a day which is separate from the other six, a day, Lord, which thou hast ordained right from the creation of the world. And Lord, now, after so many, many years, we are still privileged to be able to keep this day as a day of rest and a day of worship. And so, Lord, we pray today, as we may rest our bodies, Lord, that our souls may be greatly blessed, our souls may be fed with that bread and water of life. And Lord, may we realize and know the blessing that that is only known through that knowledge of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be found today feeding upon Christ. Lord, may we discard anything less. And Lord, help us therefore to bow down before our God. Lord, be gracious to each one of us, young and old. Lord, do suit the word today to everyone's need. Lord, we are a needy people. We are needy, Lord, individual, whether we know it or not. And we pray, gracious God, that thy good spirit may come upon us and touch our hearts. Lord, leave us not, neither forsake us, O God of our salvation. And we pray, Lord, therefore, that we may be moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we cannot move ourselves. We're thankful, Lord, that the Holy Spirit can and does move his people. And we pray, Lord, today we may have the evidence of that truth in our own hearts, to know that we are worshipping the ever-living and the true God, and that our soul is graciously and wonderfully moved by the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that we may be blessed today. We may know that God is with us. Lord, we recognize the truth of thy word, which declares that thou art in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And where two or three meet together in my name, there am I in the midst. And Lord, we believe such truths, but Lord, we need to know it in our own hearts. We pray, Lord, that the theory, good as it is, Lord, may be moved into that personal realization and experience to know the Lord is here, and the Lord is mindful of us, and the Lord is dealing with us as his children, sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so, Lord, we earnestly pray for the evidence of the work of thy gracious Spirit amongst us here today. O Lord, bless the word of God. We're thankful for it. O Lord, we are so thankful for it, for the descriptions it contains, so suitable to the experience of the Church of God as they travel through this life, this wilderness journey. Thankful, Lord, that the Holy Spirit ordained that those who wrote were influenced by the Blessed Spirit to write those things touching the King. And those things, Lord, touching our hearts. Those things, Lord, which are recorded to encourage us as we journey on in life's path. And so, Lord, we pray for the blessing of God to rest upon the Word of God that we read together at this time. Lord, may we ever be concerned to read the Word of God as the Word of God. And Lord, as we gather together as a congregation to read the Word of God, Lord, may we read it with a true desire that the Lord will speak to us from it. Oh Lord, that it may speak to our hearts, that our souls may be blessed. Lord, may we ever be concerned, Lord, more and more about the health of our souls. Lord, often we're concerned about the health of our bodies, but Lord, may we each be more concerned about the health of our souls. We think, Lord, of those lines, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And may we each, Lord, know then the wonderful blessing of the grace of God in our souls. And so, Lord, remember each one here. Any who are not here, Lord, we pray for them where they are at this time. And may thy good Spirit go to where they are, so that they may join with us and worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, we commend this people into thy kind hands and keeping, Lord. Be gracious to them. Lead them on safely, Lord. May they know what it is to be led into those green pastures beside the still waters. O Lord, come, we pray, and may they know the great truth. The Lord is my shepherd. May they have the evidence, Lord, in their hearts to be able to declare such truths. We pray, Lord, for the deacons that they will be with and continue to help them in their office. And Lord, as they labour here, we pray they will continue to be with and bless them. And Lord, as we have this flock here, Lord, we pray that if it could be thy will, thou wilt raise up a shepherd, a pastor, Lord, to go in and out amongst them, who may be able by thy Spirit to feed them with food convenient for them, so that they may spiritually grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. O Lord, we pray thou wilt help them to this end. And Lord, thou knowest each one's individual concern. And may there be, Lord, that flowing together, that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, seeking for this great blessing. And Lord, directed to that one whom thou hast ordained to come amongst them, to prove to be a real blessing upon them. Gracious God, we pray for these things, Lord, and we seek thy blessing. And so, Lord, may there be a building up, O Lord, a wonderful movement of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, many who may be able to come and declare what thou hast done for their souls and say from their heart, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. We pray, Lord, that may then be those truly concerned to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we think of our country at the present time, Lord, for the most part destitute of the vital knowledge of God. Lord, fallen away as we have. Lord, desolate is the scene. O Lord, have mercy, we pray, upon our nation. And oh, if it could be thy will, there may yet be a turning, a returning unto the Lord. O Lord, have mercy, we pray. We pray again once more for our Queen, Lord, in her position as Sovereign Lady of our country. Lord, bless her, we pray. May she be an influence for good in our country and to her family. And we pray, Lord, for the suffering and persecuted Church of God. Lord, we know there has always been a suffering and persecuted church. But Lord, we see indeed through the world today much opposition. Oh Lord, great opposition to the true God. And Lord, many false gods being put forth as the true God. O Lord, we pray for the true church of God, that they may be supported and encouraged as they press on. O Lord, we know there are in some places so much physical persecution. And know, Lord, those who have been executed for the truth's sake, and many in prison, many persecuted, some ostracized, some lonely. We pray, Lord, for the suffering church of God, wherever it may be found. Lord, encourage thy people, and Lord, grant there yet may be a turning unto the Lord. We pray, Lord, for the scriptures as they're distributed through the world. Lord, as they reach to those people who've never had a Bible. O Lord, may the word of God indeed that be fulfilled. My word shall not return unto me void. May it be a great and true blessing to many souls. We pray for those who are involved in translation work of the word of God. Lord, do give them much grace and wisdom in their labour, a right understanding to be able to produce a good translation. And Lord, as these works are completed and the Bible is published in minor languages and perhaps sometimes tribal languages, O Lord, may the word of God be greatly blessed to such. Oh, we're thankful, Lord, for the word of God. We're thankful, Lord, that it's been maintained to us. We're thankful we have it in our nation and, Lord, in our own language. Oh, Lord, we're thankful for it. And do, Lord, bless the word to our souls. We pray, Lord, for the Sunday school here. Grant, Lord, thy rich blessing upon it. Lord, as week by week, there are those messages given and spoken to the children. Lord, may they be with power from on high. And Lord, may there be many records in days and years to come of the blessing that the Sunday school's been to the life of one here and one there. Oh, gracious God, hear us then when we pray for this. And now, Lord, do come and make one with us. Come and bless us, we pray, Lord. But we cannot demand it, we do not deserve it, but we seek it, Lord, and we pray earnestly that it be gracious to us. We ask it with the forgiveness of every sin, in the worthy and all-prevailing name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 1071. Happy soul that free from harms rests within his shepherd's arms. Who his quiet shall molest? Who shall violate his rest? Hymn 1071.
Thank you.
May it please God to bless us together this morning as we consider his word. Let us turn to the book of Psalms and Psalm 42 and reading the last verse, verse 11. The book of Psalms, Psalm 42 and reading verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. We need to be reminded that our great blessing is to have the Word of God in our language, which gives to us a wonderful historical account from the very beginning of time up until the time of Christ, and then of course the period when Christ was on the earth up until the time when John was blessed with that revelation of Revelation, which is recorded as the last book in the Word of God. And we are wonderfully thankful for that. But we must recognize and know that really the Bible is a spiritual book. And the Bible has been preserved to us, the Word of God, down through the ages, because of the great spiritual benefit it is to the Church of God. And to this end, you and I need to understand and to realize personally that it has an application to our spiritual lives. Because we've come here this morning, at least I hope we've come here this morning, to hear what God the Lord will speak to our souls, not just to fill our minds with some interesting subject, some intricate, perhaps, description of the Word of God, but to have come here, to have heard, to hear from God something of benefit to our souls. Now, the Psalms very specifically direct us to the concerns and the desires and expressions of the soul. And so we've read here this morning in this text, the psalmist is directing us to the condition of his soul. Now, we will come here this morning, and I hope that you are each concerned about the condition of your soul. And you may say, well, why is that so critical? It is so critical because you and I are passing through this world out of time when our bodies will perish, but our souls will live forever. And it's very important that you and I have, therefore, a right understanding of the condition of our soul. And the Psalms give us an insight into the condition of the soul of the child of God. And that position is often very different to what the natural mind might understand. The perception among many people is when the Lord blesses and brings a person into spiritual light, then it's calm, then it's plain sailing. Well, the truth is, it's very different from that. And that's why we're thankful to have the Word of God to describe to you and me today the condition that the psalmist found himself in, and is able to describe it in such terms. And in this verse, and it's repeated very similarly in the fifth verse, and in the next Psalm 43, the last verse. And he's speaking to himself. And he's asking himself a question. And it's good for us this morning, as we're here, to ask ourselves these questions. And he asks the question, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Now, first of all, let me tell you that it would only be those who are truly born again in the Spirit of God will understand a statement like this. The devil's very content to let those who possess a pseudo-religion to carry on in a calm frame of mind, thinking they are possessors of the truth, but in reality they do not possess the life of God in the soul. Because if the Holy Spirit has blessed us with spiritual life, then be sure of this, that will be tested and that will be tried. And there will be many times of temptation, and many times perhaps when you will question the reality of religion in your soul. And the effect will be like this: "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" The psalmist started this psalm by saying, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." And perhaps you and I are cast down because our spiritual life doesn't demonstrate such a desire as this. They're familiar words, aren't they, to most of us who have been brought up in the church of God. They're familiar words. And the psalmist makes this point, and he says, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" My friends, these are wonderful words, and they're true words, and they're important words. But sometimes we're not always in that position. And then you see, what's the effect? Well, the effect will be to cast us down. You and I will not be satisfied with a religion that lacks reality. The devil will want to keep us, if you like, in a calm frame and away from the truth of God's word. But what a blessing it is when the Spirit of God brings us to a condition so that we have to say, ask ourselves the question, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" We don't look around at other people. Real religion is between our soul and God. It doesn't matter what other people are thinking or saying or doing. The reality is, it's how stands our soul with God. And perhaps we seem to lack the life within that we would desire. And then such a condition will cast us down. And so we can ask ourselves, let me ask the question to you here this morning. Do you understand what the psalmist is saying? Do you recognize the truth of these words? Are you a companion with a psalmist? The psalms are written for our encouragement, to know that here we have a man of God who is walking in a similar way to the way that I'm walking today. And as we're able to trace out the similarity, to be encouraged that we do possess the life of God in our souls, although perhaps we may have been tempted and wonder whether we did. That's why he asked the question, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Cast down because he wasn't walking as closely to his Lord as he would desire. Perhaps he was far off. Perhaps the temptations of the world had crowded in. And he found himself in a barren place. and a hard-hearted condition. And therefore, the question is very valid, because if we come into those places, which we do, then we question, why are we like this? Why? Do I possess the life of God in my soul? Why am I like this? Well, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? It's good, you see, to question our religion. We need to question our spiritual condition. And when the life of God is in the soul, and if the Spirit of God is moving us, we will be concerned about our spiritual life. We'll be concerned about the health of our soul. I wonder if you're concerned this morning. What if you come this morning here concerned about the health of your soul? Especially if your soul is sick. Concerned the Lord might come and heal your soul and bring that life back. You may, as it were, be laid up in bed and not able to do anything and think anything in a spiritual sense. It may be a real concern to you. I hope it is. And perhaps then you're asking yourselves this question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why is it? Well, sometimes the Lord will show us the reasons why we've got ourselves into a condition like this. And I'm pretty sure, as the Spirit of God directs us, we'll find that the old devil has crept in to our life. You see, we're not always good observers of the devil. And he's very cunning. And my friends, don't forget, the devil knows much about you and me. And he also knows what are our weak points. And he knows what things of the world attract us. And therefore, you see, the devil will bring us into those situations, or bring those situations to our attention, so that we are sidetracked from the things of God. And very quickly, we can find our heart is moved by worldly things. And it brings us then into a time of barrenness in our soul. And we might ask the question, where is the blessedness I knew? Where is that gone? You look carefully, you'll find there's this situation crept in and that situation crept in. And sometimes they may be lawful things. The apostle tells us, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. What that means is, the lawful things, which we might be able to say, well, I can do that all right. Yes, I think I can tick that box and carry on doing that kind of situation. Does it bring health to the soul? That's a great question, isn't it? And I'm sure the devil today brings many temptations into our life. You see, we live in a world where the world is so close, isn't it? So close to us. You know, mobile phones, the internet, all those kind of things. There's many things which are now achievable and observable, which creep in, which, you know, we can almost come upon accidentally. And the fact is, they don't bring us nearer to Christ. The truth is, they move us away. And therefore, if we've found ourselves in a condition and we can't seem to feel the desire, perhaps, to read the Word of God, perhaps the desire to pray, you may think, well, surely those things are pretty obvious. Well, they are obvious, but I tell you, when we find ourselves not as close to God as we should be, and we find ourselves, the Word of God isn't quite as attractive. Perhaps it may not be attractive. Perhaps you may not even want to read it. And then you try and pray. And, you can't really pray. Well, you utter some words, yeah. We all utter words, perhaps. But you see, there's a great difference between the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man and just a mere form of words. There is a great difference. And if you and I find ourselves then, as it were, in that formal way, and examining ourselves, we ask the question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? What a blessing if God puts that question into our hearts so that we come before God and we ask ourselves this question. Now, the devil won't want you to ask that question. The devil won't keep you away from that. He wants you to get more involved in the things of this poor old world which perishes. But bless God this morning, if the Spirit of God moves us to ask ourselves a question like this, why art thou cast down, O my soul? But it's the work of God. And we can thank God if we are able to ask this question. If we know spiritually we are cast down. We are cast down because those who are not born again in the Spirit will not understand a situation like this. But you can be thankful if you have the evidence of the work of God producing a question like this in your heart and saying, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Now, the psalmist then moves on and he asks the second question. And he says, and why art thou disquieted within me? We're not able to give ourselves fully, as perhaps our old nature wants, to the things of this world. And then we might find we're disquieted. And what does that mean? Well, it's like this. It really, we have a niggling conscience inside. Do you know what that is? When you're doing something that you shouldn't really be doing. When you're thinking something that you shouldn't really be thinking. What's the effect? Is your conscience being niggled? That you're not doing things which are good? And, you find that there's a disquiet within. Well, you can be thankful for that if the Lord, the Spirit of God, is producing that disquiet inside. There's not that peace that you want. There's not that peace that you desire. It's because you've allowed something to come into your life, into your heart, which separates between you and God. Now remember, the devil's aim is to separate us from the things of God. And today, we live in a very, very secularist and material world. There's so many, many things to distract us from the things of God and to disquiet us in our spiritual life. And don't forget, we're speaking here really about the work of God and the life of God in our souls. There's many things externally to cast us down and to disquiet us, but I believe here this is a very personal thing because he's speaking to his soul. He's concerned about the condition of his soul, and he's therefore saying, and why art thou disquieted in me? The truth is, faced with this kind of situation, we asking ourselves, and what shall we do? We're cast down, we're disquieted, and our soul. Well, the psalmist, he knew what to do, and he knew where to look, and we have the answer. He tells himself, hope thou in God. You won't be able to stir yourself up. You won't be able to produce life of God in your soul yourself. You won't be able to turn over a new leaf by yourself. you'll want the Lord to come. And therefore, to lift up your heart in prayer unto God, hope thou in God. Well, this morning, if we're in a condition like this, if we're cast down and if we're disquieted in our soul, remember that's our spiritual life with God. And I hope today that you, each one of you, have the evidence of the life of God in your soul and understand the things that the psalmist is speaking here. Because if you don't, oh my friends, cry mightily to God that you might realize the reality of true religion and not be lulled to sleep in a carnal comfort of just an external operation in the things of God. You see, the truth of God is in the heart, in the soul. And there will be that conflict. There will be that battle. Life will never be easy spiritually. And if you're satisfied with your natural religion, you must question whether there is any life of God in your soul. But you see, if you know and understand what the psalmist is saying, there is the evidence then of the work of God in your soul. Now, it's not comfortable. My friend, true religion is not comfortable because we realize how far we fail. We realize we're failures often in the things of God, and we're ashamed of ourselves. We're ashamed of our thoughts. We're ashamed of our words. We're ashamed of our lack of words sometimes. We're ashamed of our profession. And we're thankful to have faith to believe the Lord is not ashamed of us. Hope thou in God. Well, here's the wonderful place of comfort. Comfort. To hope in God. Why should the psalmist hope in God? Because it was God that had produced life in his soul. His whole life, his whole spiritual life, had been given to him by his God. And therefore, he's now directing himself, as it were, to look back, hope thou in God. And so this morning, whatever condition you and I might be in our spiritual state, and if we're concerned and we're crying out perhaps to God and we're saying, can ever God dwell here in such a heart as mine? The answer is to come, hope thou in God, for his mercies are great. Do you remember the time when David numbered the people? Yes, it was a wrong thing to do. It was really because of pride. Pride. And just be careful about numbering the people. You know, it's pride. And you know, God judged him for that. And he gave him three choices. David didn't know what to choose. But he said it's best to fall into the hands of God, for his mercies are great. And so they are. And we can bless God for that. And so we can come like this morning, and we can hope in God that although we may have fallen, although we may have backslidden, although we might be far off, yet we can hope in God. And so he says, hope thou in God. Now what a comfort that is, to realize that that God who's begun this work in my soul, that's the God who I'm dependent upon. That's the God in whom is all my hope. And it's good when the Spirit of God, which it is, brings us back to this condition to consider ourselves, to ask ourselves a question while we're cast down, while we're disquieted, and to hope in God that he will deliver us, that he will remember us, that he will bring us once again into a wealthy place. You see, the psalmist had this confidence, and he had nowhere else to go. And you and I, my friends, we have nowhere else to go. We're, as it were, shut up to God. And that's a blessing. He was shut up to God. His hope was in God. It wasn't in anyone else. It was in God. Hope thou in God. Simple words, aren't they? Very important, very relevant. When we're brought to a place of destitution, here it is, hope thou in God. Yes, hope thou in God. However destitute the position and the situation may have been. We read together chapter in Habakkuk this morning, and really because of the last few verses. And the last few verses really describe a scene of desolation. Perhaps we think of it described here in a physical way, but it's also very true in a spiritual way. And he tells us this: although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. That is surely a place of desolation. Those who are farmers or market gardeners will understand the situation. But none of that. What is it? Desolation. Desolation. And what does Habakkuk say? He says, yet, all that's against me, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And I'm sure this is directing us here to the spiritual life, because he is saying, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, how relevant that is. The joy of my salvation. That's the place of comfort. That's the place of blessing. Where is it? It's to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope thou in God, in his finished work for a poor, unworthy sinner of the earth. Hope thou in God. And we see the psalmist gaining strength, as it were, as he comes and asks these questions. And it's good to therefore examine ourselves before God. Here he was asking the question, and he says, for I shall yet praise him. Yes, I shall yet praise him. There was a confidence. Why? Because the work of God was in his soul. He wasn't looking to himself. He was looking to his God. And therefore he was able to have confidence in his God. For I shall yet praise him. There's a time to come. A time of favour. Confident he was in the goodness and the mercy and the favour of God to him. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Yes. Now, our lives, my friends, are for the honour and glory of God, that we might show forth his praise. I shall yet praise him. And the Lord, I believe, brings you and me into these conditions where we have to examine ourselves, confess our sins, fall down before God, acknowledge our wretchedness and unworthiness. And yet when the Lord comes and appears for us and brings us out into these places of favour and union with himself, to be able to say, yes, well, the Lord gave me that hope in himself. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You see, that's the truth of the gospel. And bless God if he brings you and me into conditions where we're brought down and we have to cry out to God, that he will reveal himself unto us as he does not unto the world. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. You see, the personal personal desire. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And my friends, if God is to say unto you, I am my salvation, it will be in this way. He will reveal to you that he, the glorious God, the blessed Saviour, has laid down his life for such an unworthy sinner. A sinner who deserves no favour, no blessing. And so, here's the truth, for I shall yet praise him. Praise him for his mercy, for his love, for his grace. You understand what the psalmist said, you see. If the Lord does great things for us, it's a privilege and a blessing to be able to praise God for that which he's done in bringing us out of these conditions that we brought ourselves into. And the Lord has given us that grace to hope in him. This is not a false hope. This is a good hope. And then to be found here saying, yes, I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. What will make us healthy? What will make us joyful? It's the revelation of God to our souls. The realization that although our souls deserving hell are not despair, for who can tell? The Lord will come and have mercy upon us. The Lord will shine upon us. The Lord will bless us. And who is the health of my countenance? The only things, my friends, that will bring us into a healthy condition so that our countenance it shines, as it were. What is it? The love of God to our souls. You see, when the Spirit of God moves us like that, and here the psalmist, he realized what he needed, what he desired, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Yes, he worshipped his God, that God who looked upon him, that God who had mercy upon him, that God who dealt with him in love to his soul. He was able to come and say, my God. And all of us this morning, my friends, must come to this position to be able to say very humbly, but very truthfully, my God. Yes, you may be like Anne Steele, who said, oh God, my Father, may I call thee mine. Yes, but she had a desire, and she could, and she did. You may be concerned this morning because of your condition to wonder whether you can call the Lord God your God. You look at yourself, you cast down, and you wonder whether there's any hope for you at all. Well, be encouraged by the statement of the Word of God, because the devil will always want to discredit the Word of God and to discourage you. But here we have, and bless God, we have such a statement before us here, which encourages us as he's asked the question of himself, and then he answers, and he says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And the Lord then, you see, will bring us into that healthy place, and that healthy place is to be near to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not near to the world, you see, but pray that the things of this world may become more dim and the things of God may be brighter, because you and I are travelling through this world. It won't be long, will it, with all of us, that we've finished our course on this in this world. And then, where will our soul be? Where will your soul be? Where will your soul be? If you were asked this morning, well, if God called you home today, called you out of this world, where would your soul be? What would you say? What would you say? The question, where would your soul be? It's not a question of how much money you got in the bank. It's not a question of what a beautiful car you drive, what lovely clothes you wear. Or those will be gone, finished. Where will your soul be? Will you be able to say, yes, my trust, my hope is in what God has done for my soul. And I can praise him for his work in my soul, not my work. Because as the apostle said, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And naturally, you and I are dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins, there's no life at all. It's all of grace. It's the blessing of the Lord. It's a favour of God to give the blessed gift of eternal life. Oh, my friends, and this morning, do you understand what the psalmist is saying? Do you understand it? Have you been there? Are you there? Do you bless God with such a description? Therefore to recognize, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. You see, when the Spirit lifts us up, and it's all the work of the Holy Spirit, you might say, why is it all the work of the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you why it is. It's so that all the honour and glory goes to God. If you could claim anything yourself, you would detract from the glory of God, my friends. God is a jealous God. And God would have all the glory. And I believe this. You and I are very pleased and very thankful and very happy that God does have all the glory. Because we desire to praise him for his mercy to such an unworthy sinner. That he's called us by his grace. John Newton got it right, didn't he, when he said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It is the work of God's Spirit that brings us to a position like that. And you know, when the Lord brings us there, out of perhaps a condition where we were indeed lost and ruined in a fall, it's to then rejoice in what the Lord has done. The Lord has done. You see, his work is done. It's wonderful, isn't it, to think that the Lord Jesus Christ, he finished a work that his Father gave him to do. That great and glorious work of salvation to save our souls from hell. And when the Lord shows to us the glory of that salvation, then you see, he indeed is the health of my countenance. Yes, we're joyful to think of what Christ has done. He's taken notice of us and delivered us from the wrath to come. And then we're able to say with the psalmist in all humble truthfulness, and my God. Well, this morning as we consider these truths, can we indeed say, my God, to fall into the hands of God rather than into the hands of man, and to confess our situation. It's a blessing if God makes us honest before God. Honest in our confession. The Lord knows everything about us anyway. He knows all those secret sins, all those things perhaps which you kept very close within. And you think no one else knows, but of course God knows, doesn't he? God knows. God knows about that. I remember that little story of the poacher and his son, and they were out poaching, and the poacher, he looked this way and that way to see if anybody was looking, and his son said, "Father, you forgot to look up." My friends, often we perhaps do the same. We forget to think and realize that God observes everything about us, every single thing. Nothing hidden from the view of Almighty God. And sometimes that may be a very big reason why you and I are cast down and disquieted, because we know that God has seen us. Remember David, in his life, you know, he thought he'd hidden his sin, didn't he? Adultery with Bathsheba and murder of her husband. And then you see, God knew. David thought he'd hidden his sin. God sent Nathan the prophet. Nathan to come and to point out to David his sin. And when David then was pointed out to him in that parable of the ewe lamb, David was angry about what had occurred. But then Nathan said, "Thou art the man." And bless God when he comes and points his finger at you and me, and we realize, yes, his eye has seen everything. That's made us perhaps disquieted, and that's made us cast down, because we are the guilty one. We're standing before God. You know, when God comes and convicts, we have no covering. We have no covering. We're naked before our holy God. Yes, everything is revealed. And God knows everything. Where are we then? We have to hope in God's mercy. "Hope thou in God," says the psalmist. Bless God then when the Spirit of God convicts us that we are guilty. And we come and are blessed with this hope in God. It's my only hope. No hope in myself. I'm condemned. I'm guilty. I'm worthy of death. Hope thou in God. And not only just to hope in God, but to believe the Lord will have mercy. You see, the Word of God tells us, encouraging words, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So although we may have had to lose all our own respect, all our own righteousness, I think that then in that condition the Lord comes and He clothes us. He covers our nakedness with His spotless robe of righteousness. What's the effect? "I shall yet praise Him for His mercy and wonderful love to such an unworthy sinner. For I shall yet praise Him." And then, "Who is the health of my countenance and my God?" It's all of grace. It's His work. It's His mercy. So this morning, we may perhaps be discouraged as we examine ourselves and look within. Well, it's good to do that. It's good to realize where we are before our holy God, but to then, as it were, look up. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £790, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hyde will address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. John Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening. God willing, Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 305. The souls that would to Jesus press must fix this firm and sure, that tribulation, more or less, they must and shall endure. Hymn 305.
To you. Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.